Thank you for joining us for this life-changing message from River of Life. If you are ever in our area, we would love for you to join us. For more information, click the link down below or download our app in the App Store under ROL Crawfordville. Now let's join our special guest as he teaches from the Word of God.
Okay, repeat after me. Lord, I believe your word. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Come, Holy Spirit. That never gets old, doing that. I'd like to welcome you here this morning. Thank you for coming. And that also applies to all of you who are joining us virtually and on the internet. Today's going to be a great day. Thank you for coming to worship in the house of the Lord. Before we get started, though, I need to take care of a little business first, before we get into the message. Next month, I will turn 50 years old. It is hard to believe. I can't even believe I'm turning 50. But I will tell you, you have no idea what it's been like being a preacher's kid for almost 50 years to Henry Jones. And I'm going to do something this morning that I have waited a long, long time to do. But first, I need to give you the backstory, and you'll understand why I'm going to do this here in a minute. But it was around 1987, 1988. I was an eighth grader at attending Wakulla Middle School. And Dad was pastoring Sop Choppy First Baptist Church. And it was on a Sunday morning, and it wasn't like it is now. I love where the youth sit here, but back then, all the youth, we got as far back as we could get in the church, and I was on the very back row, and it was, the way the pews were, is the wall was right behind my head, so I was sitting there, and I leaned my head back on that wall, and you know what happened. My eyelids just got so heavy, I could not keep my eyes open, no matter how hard I tried. So I decided to close my eyes. And I mean, after all, I was on the back pew. I wasn't disturbing anyone. No one could see me. But I closed my eyes and I just got really relaxed. And then all of a sudden, I heard, "Kyle, wake up." And you know how it is when you doze off and you get startled. I jumped, I startled, I about fell out of the pew, disoriented. And to find that the whole church, all eyes were on me. And being a 12-year-old boy at the time, that took many, many, many years for me to get over that embarrassing moment. And I never, and I still do, I never have felt like it was right for my dad to stop in the middle of his sermon and call me out in front of the whole congregation. Just never felt that right. So, 35 years later, 36 years later, now I occasionally get the opportunity to speak from this pulpit. So I've waited a long time to say what I'm about to say. If you are here this morning and your eyelids get heavy and you want to close them just for a few minutes, go ahead and take a nap. I promise you, you will not be called out. I know exactly how you feel. And when I speak from the pulpit, we'll just go into that. Naps are allowed in this when I speak. Amen? So let's get started. The event I'm going to talk about this morning comes right out of the book of Acts. Chapter 3, the time frame, this took place around, it's estimated around 50 to 60 days after the resurrection of Christ. So Jesus was gone. And the location was beside the temple gate, or one of the temple gates that led into the temple. And there was a beggar, the scripture said, he was in his 40s and his entire life. People would move him to the temple gate where he could sit there just to survive, and he would beg for money to people who were going in and out of the temple. And then one day, it was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, here comes Peter and John. And I want you to try to visualize this. Many of you are so familiar with this story, but visualize this with me. Here comes Peter and John walking into the temple. And that beggar sits there complacently. He lifts his cup up, doesn't even make eye contact with Peter, and he asks them to give him some money. And then the Bible says that Peter directed his gaze right at that beggar. And he said, "Look at us." And then that beggar focused his full attention on Simon Peter. And then Simon Peter looked down at the beggar and he said, "Silver and gold I have none. But what I do have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then Peter reached down, he grabbed that beggar by his right hand, and it says, as he was pulling him to his feet, his ankles and his legs strengthened, and they praised and jumped and worshiped the Lord all together as they went into the temple. The title to my message today is Get Up and Walk. Get up and walk. One of the worst feelings in the world is when you feel like you have missed your window of opportunity. Wouldn't you agree? Another way of putting it, have you ever been told, or has anyone, or have you ever felt like you have been a day late? And what's the end of that? Dollar short. That's a bad feeling, a day late and a dollar short. And sometimes I feel like my special talent on this earth is being a day late and a dollar short. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she says she's never late. She says she's just fashionably delayed. But me, on the other hand, I wish sometimes I could roll back the clock to go back and take advantage of some missed, you know, so many missed opportunities in my life. I'll give you a quick example. It was in the early 1990s. I was going through the business school at Florida State University. I was majoring in real estate. I was living in a small townhome off of Tharp Street, and I got home one day, and the light on my answering machine was blinking when I walked in the door. Actually, does anybody have raise your hand if you still have an answering machine in your home? Okay, there's a few. Well, my light was blinking on the answering machine. I played it. It was one of my professors. He said he'd like to speak with me. The next day, I go to campus. I find him, and he explained to me that he had been contacted by a business representative asking the professor if he had any up-and-coming students who may be interested in taking advantage of a business opportunity, getting in on the ground floor. Professor nominated me. Professor told me he had arranged the meeting, and he encouraged me to give it strong consideration. A few days later, I go to the meeting. I sit across from the desk, and as soon as I sit down, the guy behind the desk, he reaches down, and he pulls out, hang on, let me see if I can get it out. How many of you had one of these? He pulls out one of these, and he proceeded to tell me how even though I didn't have one at the time, he proceeded to tell me that everyone in America would have one of these one day. And he went on to say that this will become the most important piece of equipment that we've ever known in the United States. And he said it won't just be the most important piece of equipment for business, it'll become the most important thing for everything. Even, he said people would desire this more than they would their TVs in their home. And the problem was that due to the expected demand, there wasn't enough cell towers all across the country to accommodate the anticipated demand, so they were assembling a team of real estate people to go in and to negotiate. They had been given exclusive rights from the big providers to go and to negotiate cell tower locations all across the country. And he said the opportunity was there to make millions if we did this. And I listened to everything that he had to say, and I left. And then the next day, or a couple days later, one of my buddies contacted me, and he said, how did that meeting go that you went to? And I looked at him, and I said, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. And a few years later, I actually thought about calling that business rep back, but I knew what I would hear most likely if I were to call him. I would most likely hear that I was a day late and a dollar short. So let's talk about that for a minute as it relates to the story I just told you. If there was ever anyone who would have ever felt like they missed their window of opportunity, it would have been, or found themselves in a place of no hope, it would have been that beggar at the temple gate. Every day for many years, he was placed at the temple gate in the heart of Jesus's ministry. It is very, very probable that he had most likely seen Jesus many times, had been within arm's reach of Jesus Christ himself. And now Jesus was gone. And we can ask him one day, but it would not surprise me, I would bet, that it had crossed that beggar's mind while he was sitting there, you know, after Jesus was gone, and he would say to himself, you know, I had my chance. He was right here in front of me so many times. I saw him with my own eyes. I was close enough to probably touch him when he was coming in and out of the temple. And I blew it. I blew my chance. It's too late for me. But even though that beggar may have felt like all hope was lost, the Lord had other plans, didn't he? And then Peter and John come along sometime later. So I want to talk for a minute, and it's going to be tough to get through some of this. So be praying for me as we go through this. But 24 years ago, on February 28th, 2010, Mr. Jerry Tyner and Miss Audrey Tyner came to church. Mr. Jerry, wave your hand. Miss Audrey, wave your hand back. Everybody, this is Mr. Jerry and Miss Audrey. He came to church. He started feeling ill at church. They go home. He just was continuously feeling worse and worse as the day went on. By 5 o'clock that afternoon, Miss Audrey was rushing Mr. Jerry to the hospital. And they immediately started running tests on Mr. Jerry. And what they originally thought may have just been a bad case of pneumonia, it ended up being, they discovered that he had an aorta valve in his heart that was beyond repair. It was beyond treatment, beyond being fixed. It had to be replaced. This was as serious a surgery as you can imagine. The doctors told Miss Audrey that Mr. Jerry had less than a 25% chance of survival of the surgery. That's how serious it was. But if he did not get the surgery, he would not live to Monday morning. That's how serious it was. By 2 a.m., Mr. Jerry was in surgery. Make matters worse, they go in. They even discovered more issues when they went in for the surgery. It took over 5 hours longer than expected. But Mr. Jerry survived the surgery. He came out of it, but it was not good. He was not in good shape. Every kind of machine you can imagine was hooked to him, just keeping him alive. His kidney, everything, his body was failing. And this went on for several days. He was not showing any improvement. 9 days, this went on for 9 days. And then my dad was at the hospital with Miss Audrey, as if things could not get any worse than what they were. The doctors come in and talk to Miss Audrey, and my dad was there, and the doctors explained that they had concluded, or they suspected, that Mr. Jerry, because he was not waking up, they thought he had brain damage, and that was the reason that he was not waking up from his unconsciousness. And then the doctors left that waiting room. And Dad and Miss Audrey, they took each other by the hand. And they prayed and they called out to God like they've never done before. And then immediately after saying that prayer, they walk down the hall and they walk into the room of Mr. Jerry. And as they walked in the room, Dad said, "Jerry Tyner." And immediately Mr. Jerry opened his eyes. And then from that second forward, bad news became better news. And 12 days later, Mr. Jerry went home from the hospital. That was 24 years ago. And what happened that day is just like the Lord did for that beggar in Acts chapter 3. Our Lord and Savior looked down and he took Jerry Tyner by his hand that day. And he said, "Look at me. Now get up and walk." And a miracle took place. Let me tell you another story. A little over 23 years ago, Cynthia and Scooter Perez were recently married, had been recently. I see Scooter here. Scooter, wave your hand. Cynthia may be in the back somewhere. They had just recently gotten married. Scooter was new to the faith. He didn't know much about the Lord at that time. But what he did know with conviction is he was not going back to the way he had lived before. Shortly after he and Cynthia got married, Cynthia conceived, and they were excited about having a child together. To say things could not have been any better would have been an understatement. Things were great. This was going to be, and you know how this is, this was going to be a planned cesarean section. So they had the exact date and time of when the birth was to occur. And that date and time came, and Daniel Perez was born into the world. And tremendous joy filled the room, but only for a few seconds. And things went bad, and things went bad very, very quickly. What they quickly discovered was that the doctors had miscalculated the age of Daniel. And they took him out of the womb 5 weeks early before his lungs had developed. And this all happened within minutes, very quick, of Daniel being born. They had to hook him up to machines to breathe for him. And then what the machines did is the machines blew holes all in Daniel's lungs. And being just a few hours old, Daniel was literally hanging on. His life was hanging on by a thread. The only thing keeping him alive were the machines. And the doctors were not optimistic. And the doctors, this was as bad as it could get as far as a newborn goes. And the doctors explained that the only way for Daniel to survive was for him to get to Shands Hospital. But Daniel was too weak to make the transport. He would not have survived the transport from Tallahassee to Shands. And Scooter and Cynthia were obviously devastated, as any parent would be. And Scooter said he was too tired to pray. And being a new Christian, he did all he knew to do. He just held his Bible and he read the Word of God over Daniel while Daniel was in the hospital. I think I've got a picture. If the booth will pull this up, can everybody see that? So that's Scooter and that's Daniel there. And I'll tell you, Scooter and Cynthia, they tell me that they remember sitting in there and looking. I don't know if they still have it, but the glass that has all the babies on the other side. that they would look at that glass and they saw believers with their hand up on the glass praying for Daniel when he was in this condition. And so the plan was, is he was too weak to travel, but they were going to give him 2 hours. They said, came to Scooter, said, listen, we've got everything set. We're going to wait 2 hours. It was 4 a.m. We're going to wait till 6 a.m. We're going to come in, and we're rushing him to Shan. 6 a.m. rolls around. The doctors come in, and they said, hey, listen, he's resting peacefully right now. We're going to let him get 2 hours, 2 hours more. That'll make him a little stronger. 8 a.m. rolls around. Doctors come back in and say, hey, we're going to give him 2 hours, just a little more, 2 hours more, and we're going to transport him to Shans. But what the doctors didn't realize is that Daniel had been touched. And that went on, that cycle went on for, I think, 6 or 7 times, didn't it, Scooter? And Daniel never ended up making that transport to Shans. And 21 days later, Daniel came home healthier and more full of life and energy than any baby we had ever seen. And the bottom line, oh, and by the way, I hope, Daniel, they don't determine that it's a sin to run in church, because when Daniel came home, he never, I don't even think he ever learned to walk. He went straight from crawling to running. He ran around this church so much, his nickname was Dash when he was a little boy. But the bottom line is that when the world was saying, there's little hope, there's little hope, Jesus Christ was saying to Daniel, to Cynthia, to Scooter, look at me. Now get up and walk. And a miracle was, and Daniel experienced a miracle that day. The whole family did. So Daniel, Renee, if you would stand up for me real quick. This is Daniel and Renee. Stay standing. They also have a daughter, beautiful daughter. You probably see her around the church, Everly. So do me a favor. Look at this picture here, congregation. And then look at this family. Don't ever, ever underestimate what the Lord can do when he gets involved. You can be seated. Okay, my last story I want to tell you, and I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, this is the most powerful miracle. This is the most powerful miracle of them all. And many of us were friends with Pastor Al Terrell. Do y'all remember Pastor Al Terrell? I tell you. Pastor Al, he served on the board here. He was a licensed, ordained minister. He would preach many times from this pulpit. And to this day, I've never seen anybody who could pray with more power than he prayed. I tell you, I just never heard anybody be able to pray like he prayed. In fact, I would always kind of joke with him. I'd say, Al, teach me how to pray like you can pray. And he'd kind of laugh and slap me on the back and say, son, just keep practicing. You'll get there one day. And then kind of also remember when Al would preach? Al sometimes would just bust off and start singing right in the middle of his message and praising the Lord. We all miss that. I miss that. But Al started having some health problems, and it wasn't discovered until it was at an advanced stage. And we all united as a body, maybe more so than I've ever seen a body unite. And we called out to the Lord like never before. And Al's wife, Lena, what a mighty woman of God and a prayer warrior. I've never seen a woman pray harder. I've never seen a woman pray harder and pray for a breakthrough. But in the book of Isaiah chapter 55, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, and declares the Lord. And as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. And in October 2023, Pastor Al Terrell, He went home to be with the Lord. He went home to be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, it was shocking. I think many of us may have felt the same way. That didn't feel right to me. I couldn't understand. It didn't feel fair. It didn't feel right. I just couldn't understand why we didn't get a breakthrough in that situation. I thought to myself how unfair it was to Lena and their five children. Aaliyah and Allison are active in our youth group here. And it was just a very, very tough time and for all of us. And then I went to Al's funeral, and on the day of his funeral, I watched something for which there's no explanation other than God. I watched Lena Terrell stand before this congregation, and with passion and with conviction and with power, she said some things. She actually took a pom-pom in her hand to give it more emphasis with what she was saying. And I want to read to you. I don't want to mess this up, and there's no way I can do it as good as what Lena did. But this is what Lena said on the day of Al's funeral. She said, "I'm going to worship today. I'm going to celebrate through this storm. I know how to celebrate through the storm to get to the victory place. I know that I have peace in the midst of chaos. I know that it is well with my soul. My strength is in the Lord because He is my firm foundation. He is my solid rock. He is the joy that is within me. The Lord has given me peace and joy. To God be all the glory." Sometimes we have to confuse the enemy. To God be all the glory. I celebrate you, Al. And your work is not over in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. And then she said a prayer that I'll never forget. She thanked the Lord for the time that she had with Al. And then she said something that I'll never forget. She said, "Lord, you did not fulfill my desire, but I know your purpose is still being planned." At a time when Lena was walking through her darkest valley, let me tell you what happened. Lena, she fixed her eyes on the Lord, and He fixed His eyes on Lena. And He reached down and He grabbed Lena by her hand. And He pulled her up to her feet and He said, "Lena, get up and walk. I'm going to get you through this." Ladies and gentlemen, that type of victory is only possible through faith, real faith in Jesus Christ. And when I, and I'm wrapping up here, but when I think of the beggar, In the book of Acts, when I look at Brother Jerry Tyner, when I look at Daniel, when I look at Lena, I know wholeheartedly that we serve a God who wants us to look at Him. He wants to reach down. He wants to grab us by our hand. He wants to pull us to our feet. And He wants us to get up and walk. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily physically walking. I'm talking about having victory in our souls. I'm talking about that peace that passes all understanding. I'm talking about being refreshed spiritually, emotionally, and all of those things. That's what I'm talking about when I say get up and walk. And you know, the Bible says that the Lord was sent to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison doors to the bound. Yes, He can heal us physically. The Lord can heal us physically, and He does. And we can, and I love it when we get what we want from the Lord. But more powerful than that, the Lord can give us victory and refreshing and peace and joy when we're going through our darkest hours. That's the real miracle, in my opinion. Or let me ask you this, or let me say this. Maybe your life hasn't turned out exactly like you thought it would have turned out. Maybe there's been some bumps in the road and it just didn't, you just didn't quite end up right where you thought you would be. And you've gotten discouraged, and you maybe have given up on some dreams, or you may feel like your window of opportunity has shut. Don't do that. Don't think that way at all. The Lord said in His Word, "Behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" And if you don't remember anything, remember this. We serve a God. We serve a God who does miraculous things for those people who may feel like they miss their window of opportunity, or it's a day late and a dollar short for them. That is the type of God that we serve. And as I kind of wrap up here, we can, maybe the praise team can come. And back to the beggar real quick. Did you ever really wonder? Have you ever really thought about why didn't Jesus personally heal that beggar? Jesus went into the temple many times. It stands to reason that that beggar most likely held his cup up to Jesus himself. Why wouldn't Jesus heal him? In my opinion, the reason Jesus did not personally heal that beggar is because I think that Jesus, He had it planned. He wanted that beggar to be a testimony for all of mankind, to anyone, any man and woman who would ever live, who may ever feel like they missed their window of opportunity. That's why I think Jesus didn't heal him personally, and that's why Peter and John came along later and was able to do that work for that beggar. But here's the key, and this is the key here. Is we can't look at the Lord complacently. That beggar did not get his miracle when he was like this. He had to fix his eyes on Peter. He had to fix his eyes on Peter. And I wonder sometimes how many of us come to church. How many times have I in my life, I've held my cup up. Lord, I need you. Give me this or give me that or intervene here. But I haven't been focused on him. And how many of us in this church may have done that? So in closing, you know, I just like to say there's nothing special about me. We are all in this journey together. But I stand before you today with more confidence and more conviction than I have ever had. The Lord wants to grab you by your hand. He wants to pull you up to your feet, and He wants you to get up and walk. Now listen to me. Every single one of us in this church today, we have something that we need to get up and walk through. Every single one of us. And the simple act, and we talked about this, I think, this past Wednesday or Sunday, the simple act of just simply putting your eyes on the Lord. What if you said this morning, "Okay, Lord, you got my attention. I'm focused on you. I'm looking at you, Lord. I'm focused. I'm ready. I'm ready for you to take my hand. I'm ready for you to pull me to my feet. And I'm ready to get up and walk." That simple act, if you'll do that, it will change your life forever. Forever. And this morning, we have talked about just a few examples of that. So with that, if the pastors will come forward, and I would, as the music plays, I would like...
Thank you again for listening to this message from River of Life. If this message has touched you today, or if you need someone to pray with, please contact us at 850-926-1200. Or email us at info@rolcrawfordville.com. We also want to encourage you to visit us this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. in Crawfordville. Please visit us online at rolcrawfordville.com for more information and directions.